Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. It is a Country Music Friday edition of the Triple Option with RBKD. You can hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. My man BK, the real MVP, is at Brad Keldner in the Twitterverse, and Kevin Dunn at KevinDunn01. You also can watch the Triple Option with RBKD. Go to hornfm.com and you can tap into the Twitch stream. There should be a link there. Also on there, there should be a link on hornfm.com for you to donate to the Mullet Open if you want to. Mm-hmm. You didn't get a chance to get out there and participate in the Mullet Open. You can also go donate. You can find out about all of the charitable partnerships that my man Bucky has, and you can find out the causes for the Mullet Open. Always a good cause, and does a great job year after year. I think it's the 21st or 20th? 21st.
You're 20. So last year was supposed to be.
Yeah. It was supposed to be.
So I guess you could say this is year 21, but tournament 20.
Year 21, but tournament 20. There you go. Yeah. Nice way of putting it.
Thanks, pandemic.
All right. We'll get into some other things later in the show. We'll get back to some Texas baseball discussion, previewing their super regional matchup. Also, later on, we'll get to some more college football playoff expansion conversation. That thing seems real. It seems like that's actually realistic. It used to be this was all pie in the sky conversation. It was all theory and hypotheticals, but it seems like there is a real movement to expand the college football playoffs.
So yeah, the pie is on the ground now. Pie is on land. We can eat the pie.
You can eat the pie. Yeah. There you go. Now, yeah, it used to be pie in the sky. Now you can eat that pie. And I'm not a pie guy. I don't really like pie. There's no pie I prefer.
Really?
Chocolate silk pie. Homemade is incredible.
But I don't eat any pie.
I'll take cake over pie.
Cakes over
pies.
As
a whole.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cakes, whether it's cupcakes or other types of cakes. Cakes over pies and cobblers. All day, every day.
Apple pie is getting canceled, so get it while you can.
What happened?
What happened to the apple pie? Too white?
No, it was around when there were racists around. So it's gone.
So was cake.
So was everything. Yeah. So was water.
It was the preferred.
Oh, no.
It
no
was
water.
The preferred dessert of the Confederates. So that's what it was.
I need a new gone. Drink, guys.
You know what? I'm fine with it because I'm not an apple pie guy.
Exactly. Apple pie sucks. Should be canceled.
I'm not a fruit pie guy.
I'm not any kind of pie. It doesn't matter what kind of pie.
Well, chocolate silk pie.
No,
I'm telling you,
I'm gonna
get you a homemade chocolate silk pie and you change your mind.
I'm not a pie guy.
Although you're a racist with that too, because there's a lot of white on there too.
So a lot of pies have white. They won't put whipped cream around and all that, and then cream cheese.
BK's flipping out over here. You big pie guy, BK?
Big pie guy. Yeah.
What's your favorite pie?
I didn't realize that I worked with a couple of communists. That's fine.
No. Cakes, man.
You should have dug in a little harder.
Let them eat cake.
There was evidence there.
I mean, cake's good, too. We don't have to discriminate, but...
I know. I always talk about not being binary. On that one, though, just my personal taste. Yeah, I'll take cake over pie.
Yeah, I think it's just... Hey, but you know what? I can't think of a pie that I like. I'm trying... Is cheesecake considered pie? Because cheesecake is about as close as I come to eating a pie.
Cheesecake's great.
Cheesecake is great.
And you know what?
And
it's unfair, because it really should be it should be cheese pie.
It's closer
it's more
to
a pie.
It's closer
it's
to
a
being
pie.
A pie than a cake, but they call it cheesecake.
It's a pie.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. One of my favorite desserts is cheesecake. Anyway, all right, let's get to some Texas football, some college football conversation here. So 247 Sports, they put out on their Instagram an image with the basically with the mascots of the college football programs with the toughest schedules in 2021. They did the top 10 toughest schedules in 2021. And the Longhorns find themselves on this list. Number one, they have Arkansas. And Texas actually plays Arkansas. Arkansas, they said, with the toughest 2021 schedule. They have Auburn at number two, Kansas at number three.
There we go.
Yeah, because
top three and something.
Because that program needs that.
Yeah. They got Ole Miss also makes the list at number four. Florida State, the Seminoles at number five. Number six, the Gamecocks of South Carolina. Number seven, Mississippi State Bulldogs. Number eight, I believe that's Rutgers. And number nine, they have the Texas Longhorns right ahead of Michigan at number 10 of the toughest schedules for college football programs in the 2021 season. I'm not surprised by this because I've looked at some of these strength of schedule kind of advanced numbers and some of the metrics. ESPN Football Power Index, they have a strength of schedule based off of the Football Power Index formula, whatever that is. And it has Texas with the fourth toughest strength of schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got Texas with a really tough strength of schedule, too. So Yeah, maybe it works out that way, that Texas, because of the Arkansas matchup, the Louisiana matchup,
right,
and the non-conference, and then the conference, of course, you'll play Oklahoma and Iowa State, and then I think those two teams in most people's preseason rankings are in their advanced analytical algorithm trying to predict who's going to be, you know, the best teams in college football, the ELO ratings and all those things. They do have two Big 12 teams really high up, and they randomly like Oklahoma State. Still haven't figured out
okay.
why Oklahoma State is liked by some of these preseason rankings. The FPI is Oklahoma State really high, too. It's weird.
And what are we missing here?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, I just don't think we know, which is also why this is a little surprising to me. And just kind of makes me wonder about all the conference or all the schedules across the country. And if no one's really playing anyone this year, how many good matchups are we going to have? Doesn't matter. Everyone's getting in. There we go.
No.
For me, I don't know about TCU. I don't know about Oklahoma State. Really, when I look at Texas' schedule, I see three games that I know are going to be tough right now. I know there's going to be other ones, but we're trying to decide this in June, BK. I mean, I'm looking at Louisiana, Oklahoma, and Iowa State. And I know there's going to be an Oklahoma State, a Kansas State, or a TCU in there that's going to be tough. But I was a little surprised they were that high.
Does everyone think the Big 12 is going to be really good this year?
That's what I feel like reading this.
The FPI is pretty high on the Big 12. It has six Big 12 teams, I believe, in their top 25. They had three in the top 10, four in the top 12, five in the top 20.
That's too many.
So they had Oklahoma State really high. Like I said, they really like Oklahoma State for some reason.
So that explains it with the FPI, and that's a formula. So sometimes you're going to get weird results just based on all of the metrics that they use. But the 24/7 sports article is more of a human prediction.
Good point.
So I'm surprised. Like, they think the Big 12 is good. They also must think Arkansas is really good. Like, why are we so high on Arkansas? They've won seven games in the last 3 years. Not seven per year, seven total.
They were competitive last year with a lot of big-time programs. Yeah. People think they're ahead of schedule, but I'm with you. That could have been an outlier. We don't know.
I also think it's relative. I think, relatively speaking, Arkansas was so bad before then, we gave Pittman love, BK, just because they were able to show up on the field.
Yeah, they were better than what they were under Chad Morris.
Pretty much.
And I know Chad Morris is beloved around these parts for what he did at Lake
Travis. He was awful at Arkansas.
He's one of the worst Power 5 coaches in college football history. He was terrible.
He was bad.
So Sam Pittman, yeah, they looked better. Well, they were 3-7 last year.
Right.
And their wins were against teams that all finished below 500. And they lost by 48 to Alabama and 30-something to Georgia. Like, I don't know. It's going to be a hostile environment, so probably shouldn't chalk it up as an easy win. But, man, I keep seeing these schedule rankings, and I keep seeing how high on these lists that Texas is. And I'm thinking, well, how good do people think the Big 12 and Arkansas are going to be this year? Because I still think this is going to be the second worst Power 5 conference ahead of only the Pac-12, and I don't think Arkansas is that good. So I'm with you, Katie. There's only like 2 3/4 games that really scare me.
Right.
And Louisiana's the 3/4 only because I just don't know what Sark is here at Texas.
Yeah.
But Oklahoma and Iowa State, those are the two games that, like, all right, those are going to be really, really tough. Now, I know that Texas has lost to TCU a bunch, and I know that Texas has had their slip-up games, but, man, in terms of, like, on paper, schedule-wise, there's not a lot outside of those games that freak me out at all.
It's weird that Arkansas, people basically have given them props and given them street cred off a 2-point loss to Auburn, who ended up changing head coaches.
Yeah.
3-point loss to LSU. LSU has been historically bad since winning the national title for them. And a 2-point loss to Mizzou. And they also had a 7-point loss to Mississippi State, which was like number 16 at the time. But you're right. The losses were competitive losses. So people have given them credit for that because they expected them to be so bad.
Our losses were competitive losses at Texas. And people joke about Texas being ass all the time.
Here's the other thing. Just because Texas may lose some of these games doesn't mean they're schedule is top 10. Like, they could lose 5 games.
Just be
it
bad.
Doesn't it, it right.
Just losing the bad.
Yes. That has happened.
That's true.
They can mutually exist.
That's true.
I mean, I haven't gone and looked at every single schedule in college football, but there's no way Texas has the 4th or 9th toughest schedule in the country. There's just no way, and it's because they play in the Big 12.
Is no one playing anyone in conference?
I know the SEC plays 2 to 3 cupcake games out of conference every year, but still, an SEC West schedule or a Big Ten, whatever the better Big Ten division is, schedule, even with cupcake non-conference games, that's a tougher schedule than what Texas has, right?
I would think so.
Because those conferences are a lot better.
You would think, but I'm just saying, based on like the advanced metrics, the advanced metrics and simulations seem to think the Big 12 is going to be competitive. Even the ELO ratings from Pro Football Focus have one, two, three, four.
Craig
ELO,
they're
right?
Simulations, basically. There's simulations and advanced metrics.
I like the Mark Price ratings and the Brad Daugherty ratings. But you give me Hot Rod Williams ratings, and we're talking.
They got four Big 12 teams in their top 21 teams.
OU, Iowa State, Texas, Oklahoma State?
Yeah, okay. Oklahoma. People really like Oklahoma State. I don't even know what. We all agree K-State could end up, and TCU could end up as good as Oklahoma State this year.
Oklahoma State better. Maybe good.
They lost Chuba Hubbard and Talon Wise, so I don't know why.
I'm not telling you they're going to be bad or good. How do they know they're going to be good right now in June?
The advanced metrics love Oklahoma State, and I don't know why. I can't figure it out either. I'm just throwing it out there. But I agree with you guys for the most part. I don't think Texas' schedule should be considered top five toughest schedules in the country, a top 10, maybe in the top 15 when you break it all down. But to say it's that tough after just having to play Oklahoma and then Iowa State and really Louisiana, those are the three teams I think that Texas, if they lose two, I wouldn't be shocked, wouldn't be blown away by it. Other than that, I think Texas is going to be favored in every game. They'll be favored in the Louisiana game, as BK mentioned. They'll be favored in all those games.
Yeah, they will be. And I'm looking at Alabama's schedule right now just because I didn't hear you mention their name on that list.
No, they weren't on that list.
Alabama's got cupcake games. They play Mercer and they play New Mexico State. Those are two horrible, horrible teams, and they're going to win those games by 60. You could argue those two teams are better than Kansas and Rice, who are on Texas's schedule. Like, I'd pick New Mexico State to beat. I'd pick anyone to beat Kansas, probably. Like, Texas has two cakewalk SEC-style cupcake games on its schedule this year, and still somehow they have a top 10 schedule in college football.
Yeah.
And they don't have to play the SEC teams that Alabama has to play.
No, I'll be surprised if it's top 10.
Yeah, the Formula One makes sense once again because there's a lot of qualifiers there, but I just, the expectations for humans seem too high for the Big 12. And I guess I hope this conference is good. Right? Like, that's good for the reputation. And if Texas is good, that means, hey, they actually earned their spot into a conference title game or potentially the CFP discussion. But I just, when's the last time this whole conference top to bottom has been that much of a threat? Well, when's the last time the Big 12 has been a top two Power 5 conference? Like, how far back do you have to go?
Probably within 2000. Probably within the last 6-7 years. I mean, I do think the Big 12 on the field, and I've said this, has been underrated. Now that's a relative term. So so the Big 12, even 5 years ago, Rod, they were still probably playing better football than the average college football fan nationally thought. Now, is it near the SEC? No. Is it like the Big 10 that did have the best conference within the last 10 years? One of the few times the SEC was not the best conference. No, it hasn't. But, yeah, in terms of last year and heading into this year, BK, I'm with you. I don't think we're going to see that Big 12. I think there's just too much transition.
Yeah, you see, if you look at the FPI, like I said, Football Power Index, and I understand the 247 rankings were just someone's opinion, but they have in their top 15 toughest strength of schedule based on the Football Power Index, Arkansas at 1, Auburn at 2, Kansas at 3, Texas 4, TCU 5, Iowa State 6, LSU 7, West Virginia 8, Ole Miss 9, Oklahoma State 10, Texas Tech 11, Kansas State 12, Alabama 13, Mississippi State 14, Baylor 15. So
that's the whole Big 12.
They had 9 of the top, Big 12 has 9 of the top 15 teams listed.
And
basically toughest strength of schedule based on FPI.
It's what? Not intramurals.
Isn't that crazy? So, yeah,
that's like, it has been intramurals lately.
Go for the intramurals, brother.
They believe the Big 12 is going to be really competitive. I don't know why, but that's the computers that you don't trust, BK. You think they're going to take over the world. The
What's a computer?
They believe the Big 12 is going to be good. At least competitive. Not good. Maybe it'll, and honestly, this is probably not good. It'll cannibalize each other, and you won't even be represented in the college football playoff because you'll end up being too competitive, and your champion won't distance themselves enough to be in the college football playoff.
You should be the Big 12 commissioner.
Right, because Oklahoma can lose two of these. I can see Oklahoma losing two games.
Yeah,
I can see it.
I could too.
I could see that happening easily.
Not easily. I can see it happen. Well,
I could see it happen.
I can see it happening.
There's been a matchup for them.
Yeah, Iowa State, K-State has almost or beaten them recently. Iowa State's done a couple times. Texas, the Oklahoma, Texas-Oklahoma game, anytime can end up in a
glad you got
upset.
That right.
Well, because I the sentence, I was starting with Oklahoma, and then I went back and started. Yeah, sorry.
What animal is at the bottom of the food chain?
Tom Harmon did that.
Like rats are at the bottom of the food chain.
Yeah.
The Big 12 cannibalizing each other would be like rats eating each other. We're not talking about like lions cannibalizing each other. We're talking about like bottom tier food chain animal eating each other.
Flies killing each other.
Yeah. Oh, man. That doesn't do it.
Big 12 gets no respect.
Yeah.
No respect.
Yeah, and I've defended it whenever people will go too far on it, like three or four years ago. It's like, no, it's not the worst conference. It's not the conference you probably want to be in right now, but it's not the worst conference. And if you actually look on the field, they're, you know, playing some pretty good ball. I mean, remember, it was always you don't play defense, and then the SEC started doing the same thing, and yet that narrative didn't follow.
I know. Exactly. They're just geniuses over there.
Right.
SEC,
you know, that's how it works. They invented high scoring
offense. They invented, exactly.
The Big 12 is not the conference of champions. We can be grateful for that. But you know who is a champion? Our guy Scott Cross at Evapolisa.
Man, he absolutely is. Look at BK returning the favor with a nice tee up. It's easy to talk about Scott because, well, really, it's all free in terms of you just seeing where you stand in the market. So you can take that free lease quote. Just do it this weekend. Get to appleleasing.com. Put in a make or a model or give them a price range. They've got fleet pricing. They've got connections all over the state. So whatever make model, they're going to get you the best deal and the best price on that. You can also customize your lease, which is really cool. It's one of the things that Scott and Apple, they pride themselves on is that, this is a family run business and they know that people have families and that you're just going to need different automobiles for different times. And that may even be seasonal. They've got rates as low as 2.9%, multiple financing programs. Give them a call, 512-346-9977, 512-346-9977, or take that free lease quote. Talk to Darcy. She's a rep online if you got any questions. It's appleleasing.com.
I'm looking at our Twitch chat right now, gentlemen. Apparently, Derek Wareheim and Drew Maringer are both at New Mexico State.
Oh.
So they'll get to play Alabama this year.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. So like somehow those two guys ended up in this segment. And this segment went from really good to now a total abject failure. That's my fault. I shouldn't have brought them up.
Way to go.
Yeah, that's on me. Well, we're 85 days away from Texas Longhorn football. And once again, if you're just joining us, the article we were talking about, 24/7 Sports has ranked the top 10 toughest schedules in college football for 2021. Texas is number 9 on the list. And in the ESPN FPI ratings, Texas has the 4th toughest schedule in college football. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. Once again, 85 days away from Texas and Louisiana, but we are moments away from one and done.
Yeah, let's get to one and done. No shock here on a Friday. I'm going to talk some Texas baseball and kind of take a little closer look at what they can and probably should do against South Florida. This is a historic program. They got a chance to add another historic number this weekend.
Like that 5-star recruit at Kentucky, he's been here and he's gonna stay here. It's one and done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
One and done, and I'm excited about this weekend. Off to a good start. Cubs win. Cubs win. Cubs win. How about that? Cubbies.
It's garbage.
No, not garbage at all, especially when it's against St. Louis. So if you've been watching me on Twitch, and Rod has made some really good points, BK. But if you see me kind of cheering a little bit, not only because Rod's point, but also because Wilson Contreras is going yard and there's some good stuff going on.
It's a baseball
orgy
in here. Yeah.
It is,
It's just every screen.
Right.
It's happening.
And like any good orgy, you got to have some people from Lubbock in there. And I think that's the motto. I thought that was the motto. I'm not an orgy guy.
Are they freaky people in love? Is that
I'm not an orgy
was
guy.
Was that a disparaging comment or was that a compliment?
It actually was neither.
Okay.
I just
an observation?
Yeah, just not. Well, and also it was a weird transition to talk about Stanford, who is beating the hell out of Texas Tech right now. I think that thing's going to the 8th inning and it's 11-2.
Oh.
So, look, the winner of that first game in a super regional ends up winning the regional or the super regional 80% of the time. It's really important. I go back to 2002 when Brad Sullivan in Houston came to Austin and shoved it. Sullivan ended up being a first round pick. They won that game 2-0. That was such a good Texas team. They were able to get through that, win game 2, and then win game 3 in a really, really tight game. Houston got screwed there. For all you Houston Cougar fans out there, you should have a trip to Omaha, and it should be 2002. Now, you should have lost to Texas because they were the better team. They were the best team in the country and ended up winning it all. But you did get hosed. South Florida has never been to Omaha. In fact, this was their 14th NCAA appearance and their first Super Regional. So we've talked about them really playing loose and relaxed, and I think they're going to do that. We'll see how long they can keep that going because, yeah, you're happy to be here, but you're also really close, Rod, from doing something that that program has never done. If you get to Omaha and South Florida and go 0-2, you are the best South Florida team of all time, and people are going to be talking about you because they talk a lot of South Florida baseball. In Florida.
Legacy, just, man.
They won't stop talking about it. But it is a legacy. And so, for the fans, that would be a big deal. And this has not been a great team. So the updated South Florida stats, thank you to TexasSports.com for that. 4.04 team ERA. Texas is sitting at 2.87. Guys, you go through all the numbers, and I'm not going to bore you with them. Texas is clearly a better baseball team. And the biggest one for me is that Texas and their offense is the way to beat them is, yeah, to get them to chase stuff. But when they do get guys on, you got to have someone behind the plate who can really throw people out. And South Florida has not done that. People have run on them this year. They've only thrown 10 guys out, mentioned that earlier. And when I go through this Texas team and really go through the lineup, the one consistent thing is they do have speed virtually from the top to the bottom. So Silas Ardoin's not going to run on you, but they got guys even when they're not hitting the ball that well or their numbers aren't that great, like a Trey Faltini, that can really do damage. Eric Kennedy at the bottom of the lineup, really doing damage. How much depth do we see, too? Because we've seen Dylan Campbell come in and get starts. Dylan's hitting below the Mendoza line, but I like his skill set a lot, and I think he's better than his numbers show. Do we see him kind of play around with that? BK, I'll start with you because it's been a pretty consistent lineup for the most part, but if a lefty does get in there, well, how do you treat Eric Kennedy in that situation?
Yeah, I wish we had an answer to that question already. That's like the one question plaguing Texas baseball right now, and it's a first-world problem, right? We're talking about the number 9 hitter, and both guys are adequate, both guys are capable, but yeah, do we feel good enough about Dylan Campbell to trot him out there in important games, especially if this team moves up to Omaha? Like, is he going to be good enough to hold his own against the type of pitching that Texas will see? I'm just not sure. But, yeah, I'm not sure about Eric Kennedy against lefties. That's been a bugaboo for him all season long. But, yeah, I mean, look, hopefully Texas can take care of business. Of course, winning would be nice, but also winning the way that they won last weekend, where you can get guys more reps this time of year. A lot of these guys got reps during the regular season, but it's a little bit different right now. And even a Super Regional isn't the same as the College World Series at TD Ameritrade Park, but getting guys some reps in an atmosphere like that would be huge. So hopefully Texas has that luxury, KD. I wonder if these games are close, how often David Pierce would go to a Murphy Staley.
Right.
But hopefully he has the luxury to where he can just get a bunch of guys a lot of reps because Texas is taking care of business.
It is important that Staley got in there and that Peyton Powell got an at-bat. I wouldn't mind to see Dalton Porter get an at-bat if the situation presents itself. DJ Petrinski, you heard David Pierce earlier talking about his leadership and what he brings to the table. And then Peyton Powell, I just mentioned, Dylan Campbell, Lance Ford. Some of those guys got in. Rod, that is the luxury that you get guys reps and get their feet wet. There is something about, hey, I haven't played this NCAA tournament yet. It can be a sticky situation if you're in the third game in Omaha and that's when a guy gets inserted because he had to be inserted because of injury or whatever.
Yeah, you want those good butterflies, right? Everybody's going to get those butterflies, especially in a big moment. You've never been there before. But if you give the guys a little bit of taste of that, then you give them the opportunity to be able to overcome those butterflies, right? Have them be encouraging butterflies, not those nervous butterflies that'll freak you out. They can still play with confidence.
Be able to play and kind of do what you've been doing your whole life. I got to give this coaching staff a lot of credit, man, and it starts with David Pierce, and I will throw Sean Allen in there, the whole staff. We've talked about Tulo, Philip Miller. These guys have really had a good understanding of this team, and that was something that we didn't see a couple years ago. I didn't feel like they had a good read on this team. Now, last year, they go 14-3. I think a lot of this started last year, but they just got better and better. There's really only one guy all year long that I've kind of wondered about what they're doing mechanically with his swing, and I think a lot of it's just psychological, and that's Eric Kennedy. But Eric Kennedy has gotten so many infield hits, and half of those have been bunts. So he has understood his value to the team, and his value is about speed and really playing defense in left field, pitching, defense, and hitting. This team has been about as consistent as any Texas team I've seen in a long time. You throw in some names, too, of guys they recruited. Shout out to Omar Quintanilla for alerting this coaching staff about Ivan Melendez, who's from El Paso. Melendez has led the club in hitting. He's led them in home runs. He has just been, he's been more than we ever could have hoped for. Mitchell Daly, not a five-star guy coming out of Alabama, has been the either the leading hitter, or now he's the second leading hitter on this team. And then a guy like Zach Zubia. Boy, you think you know someone. There's an element. It's not nearly as much because Zubia still was playing and doing some good things. But there's a little John Harris. Think of guys like that, that you feel like you've labeled him and I know who this guy is. And then all of a sudden, they just get better and better. And a lot of their weaknesses, they clearly worked on. Zubia does not chase the way he used to. He's actually covering the plate a lot better than he used to. And the fact that he made that transition, BK, to first base, this is Jeff Onaveras-like defensively, where this was not your original position. Onaveras was a catcher here in Round Rock and just worked over and over and over. You would see him taking those short hops from Frank Anderson, just practicing. And before you know it, you look and you go, well, damn, you're like an all-conference defender.
Yeah, Zubia's been great physically and mentally. Yep. I just think his game has evolved so much during his time at Texas, and he's gotten better every year. I know you say that about certain guys, but you
he really has.
You laid it out perfectly, KD. Like, he knew his weaknesses. It's not only he's gotten better at his strengths, but he has found ways to overcome his weaknesses. Not every player at this level can do that, and he's done that.
Cam Williams started at Dallas Baptist University. I guess he was one of their 27 rides. people on Twitter, when you ask me, like, do I think Hefner is a good choice? Well, not at a state school, because that would be a huge reduction for him. If he can't get to Omaha with that many rides, then what is he going to do with 11.7? But Cam started there, and that guy is a tireless worker. Every time I hear people within the program talk about him, they say this guy's the first one there and the last one to leave. I almost feel like he gets a little too confident. You could call it cocky at times, but I like his swag, and I like what he brings to the table. He's a switch hitter, Rod. If you tell me before the season, and I was going through it today, if you tell me a lot of these guys, so I mentioned Melendez and Daly and then Zubia, but if you tell me Cam Williams hits over 300, I would have laughed at you.
Big.
I thought Cam Williams was a 240 hitter. And I thought he was a guy who could give you some pop from both sides, could run into stuff, but there were a lot of holes in his swing, and he was an easy guy to get out. Looking at him, Skip Johnson and I used to love to talk about this. By the way, an OPS over 1,000, too, for Cam Williams, which is really shows you just how productive he is, and when he does make contact, he's making a lot of it, it's going to go a long way. Skip and I used to laugh about watching games, and you can see holes in swings, and I would sit there and watch them with them and say, here's how I'd pitch this guy, here's how I'd pitch this guy, and then mainly listen to Skip. But Skip used to like to see if I was right or wrong. Was wrong certainly a lot of the time. But guys like that, it was pretty easy to be right. And then all of a sudden you fast forward a year, and I'm sure Skip saw this as they played them this year, Rod, he tightened up a lot of those holes. You know, that's what it's about. And I think you probably did that too, that you look early on in your career and you're talented, you do some things well, but then if you tighten up the other stuff and just continue to build on the strengths like he did, that's how you have an OPS over 1,000.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, what he in the offseason, you know, what he
I know he was
on,
working.
What self-evaluation, you know, what kind of introspective evaluation he did to go, all right, I got to work on these things. And who pointed out to him, I'm sure, you know, coach does a lot of that too, but, you know, you got to watch, I know the guys probably watch film on themselves too and try to figure out, you know, what I'm missing and what I need to try to emphasize and how can I improve and all those different things. So he's definitely one of those guys that you saw the improvement. I mean, it's pretty, you can, he can quantify it, and it's pretty obvious.
Their approach at the plate, so just the way they take pitches now, the way they see pitches, looks so much more comfortable than it did during that full season a couple years ago. And I'm sure a lot of that is too low. I'll give the whole coaching staff credit. But also the way that a lot of these guys are using the whole field and trying to stay through the middle of the field. We've seen a lot of right-handers this year go the other way. Zuby is a great example of that. Doug Hodo's been fantastic, guys. I mean, let's not forget Austin Todd was going to be that right fielder. And I said even early on before he got injured, what did I say, guy? I said, guys, we got to get Doug Hodo in this lineup somehow. And it felt like we had four outfielders and maybe even four center fielders the way they all can run. And how do you get him in there? I was talking to, at that point, this goes to show you, I was saying, well, let's have someone ready at third base. Because I didn't know Cam Williams is going to hit 308. I mean, I have been pleasantly surprised and wrong about some of these guys, and I've never been happier to be wrong because they have proven a lot. And it kind of gets back to the football discussion we had earlier. Well, if you've got data in front of you and you've got a sample size that's enough, well, you're going to think that they're going to be pretty close to that. Mm-hmm. You don't think about the work and the advancements and improvements they can make in the offseason.
Yep.
And these guys did that. There's only one guy that really didn't, and he's being as much of a team player as possible. I know he put the work in. It's baseball. It's the toughest thing to do in sports is hit a baseball. So
square up a round ball with a round bat.
Not very easy.
Yeah.
When it's 90 something and moving, and then they don't tell you what the pitch is going to be.
And they got spider tack.
They got spider
on
tack
on their hands.
They got all this stuff. But this is the best stuff I've seen in college baseball. I mean, we see guys, Gavin Williams today, who lost for East Carolina. He's blowing mid-90s, dropping a big-time hook, and he's going up against Kumar Rocker. Texas has those guys, but they've been facing those guys. So just, I mean, a lot of love to the offense. And also the way David Pierce has played this. Yeah. I talked about Schlossnagel not bunting. It has worked for him. It hadn't worked for him to win at that elite level, and that's where Augie really learned how to use the small game. He has done a great job. He has not silenced their bats. If you look at the overall numbers, they've got power, they've got OPS. These guys can hit the ball in the gap. Situationally, they can hit, but when he needs to bunt, he's been able to bunt. He also has not been as obvious as Augie with that, where some guys can really wheel that defense around because they know you're going to bunt now. You don't always know when Texas is going to bunt, but he's used that game really well to get these guys in good positions and ducks on the pond.
So you're cool with the way he's done it.
I think David Pierce, and by the way, save the text, I'm not talking about him as a third base coach. He's an awful third base coach. Mm. He has been great. And really their whole offensive staff has been, in terms of pulling the trigger, when to let guys hit, when to actually bunt guys, when to go hit and run, when to just go straight steal. They got a real good understanding of this team, and they played it well.
It's awesome. You've got me pumped.
I'm pumped.
I wish the game was tonight. I don't want to wait until tomorrow night for the first game, and I want some time off of work. That's the real reason.
So are you shooting for game three?
Prime time, though.
Are you shooting for game three?
Boy, I'm at a crossroads here. If I get a guarantee that Texas wins game three.
Hey, I like the matchup in game three, man.
That game would be at 4:00 on Monday, Rod B.
Mm-mm.
You know,
I don't want to risk it.
Three-day weekends.
I don't want to risk it.
No, I'll prefer
I'd rather come to work.
I'll prefer the sweep and come to work.
If we were digging ditches in this weather.
If we were digging who?
Digging ditches.
Digging ditches.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Then,
said, yeah,
not that.
Said something else.
Then, or that. Yeah. Either one.
I always dig them.
Well, it depends. Then I can understand, hey, let's shoot for a game three. We're going to have plenty to talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Talk about the win.
All right.
The sweep.
Yes.
Let's do that. Good stuff. One and done talking Texas baseball. We'll get back into Longhorn baseball a little bit later in the program. But coming up next, we've got Off the Record. And last night, during the Bucks-Nets game, Lifetime Longhorns Kevin Durant and P.J. Tucker got into a bit of a scuffle. I'm sure you saw this somewhere. We had a little Longhorn on Longhorn crime, and it got me thinking, which Longhorn athlete would you least want to fight? We debate and take your thoughts next.
D.D. Mangudu.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain man comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East. Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of
Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F***ing thing sucks.
Off the Record time here on the Triple Option with RBKD alongside the All-American Rod Babers. The all-real world, Kevin Dunn.
Get out of here.
I am BK, Brad Kellner. Hey, coming up in about 13 minutes, we'll get back into the 12-team playoff conversation. A lot of rumors abound amongst college football pundits that we could be expanding from 4 teams to 12 teams in the not-too-distant future. We've got some good thoughts on that. But guys, a weird incident took place last night in Game 3 of the Bucks-Nets series. Milwaukee got the win. They needed it. They're still alive in that series. They're still down 2-1, though, to Brooklyn. But you had Longhorn on Longhorn crime during the game, as Kevin Durant and P.J. Tucker got into each other's faces, and there was a little bit of a skirmish. Stadium security actually went on the floor and tried to break the fight up, which was very interesting. I'm not quite sure why they felt the need to do that, because no punches were thrown or anything like that.
It was KD's private bodyguard. He doesn't really need to be there. He needs to be thrown out for good now.
Is that a joke? Or
no, I'm being dead serious.
Because I saw that guy. I didn't know if he was security for the arena or whatever.
He has a job now with the Nets because he's KD's private bodyguard.
Wow.
Needs to be out for good.
Yeah, that's crazy. A bad bit right there.
It's a really bad bit.
There's just no need for that to happen at all. But anyways, that happened. We had a little scuffle between those two lifetime Longhorns, and it got me thinking. Which Longhorn, current or former, would you least like to fight? By the way, for the record, I'm picking P.J. Tucker in that fight over Kevin Durant.
Yes.
I'll take him just because of center of gravity. He'll probably try to wrestle him to the ground. And then once KD's on the ground, he loses the advantage of being 7 foot.
Yeah, KD will run away and then tweet about it. And then use a burner account to tweet about
it. I'm picking P.J. Tucker against every Texas basketball player I could think of, except for maybe James Thomas. I'd like to see James Thomas, Schenectady, and P.J. Tucker get after
East Coast.
Yeah.
So it's funny. So I reached out to Craig Way and Jeff Howe, two great Longhorn historians, and I wanted to get their thoughts. And Craig mentioned for basketball, it'd be James Thomas. And he's up there for me, too. I mean, James Thomas and P.J. Tucker are very, very high on my list.
One of those two.
For basketball players who have come through the 40 acres. What about football? Jeff Howe had a great recommendation. Steve McMichael.
So McMichael's on my list.
Yeah.
Obviously, Arakpo. Casey Studdard would grab your nuts, and no one wants to fight Casey Studdard.
No, and he wouldn't let go either.
No, he wouldn't.
He's weird like that.
Here's my favorite one. Tommy Nobis, who apparently got in some fights when he was here.
Oh, yeah.
And you didn't want to get into those.
I'm going to go with Nate Boyer, because he's a Green
Beret,
and he's literally trained to kill people with his
interesting
hands,
call.
And he's probably killed a few people for the sake of freedom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Easily. I like that.
It's hard to argue that one.
Yeah.
Or Bill McRaven, who literally organized.
He didn't play here, though, right?
No, but he's a Longhorn.
Okay.
He did organize the raid to catch Osama bin Laden.
That's true.
And he's a Navy SEAL, I believe,
so
too.
He could kill you, and he could organize kill you.
McMichael's a great call.
Stick it outside the box.
Craig's football recommendation was Tony Brackens.
Okay.
Ask the Texas Tech kicker how he feels about that.
I think you should go Leonard Davis for football. If you want to go sheer size. I mean, Leonard Davis might have been the largest human being to ever play football at Texas.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anybody bigger.
Good call. I don't know where you'd hit. I don't know where you'd hit Casey Hampton.
Casey going up against Leonard Davis would be
interesting. I'd try to outrun him.
Sean Rogers was bigger. Was just as big though.
Sean bigger.
Rogers was huge, but Sean Rogers is a teddy bear. Yeah. Everybody, not he's a pushover thing, but he was a sweet, nice guy. Casey Hampton was just hardcore. Casey Hampton could have played football in the 20s.
Yep.
Like he's just
2020.
Well, he was black.
No,
so.
In the 19th. Yes, he would have had no shot. Right. But you get my point.
But outside of the racist thing, you're right.
Maybe in the 50s or 60s, he just has that kind of mentality. He is a Pittsburgh Steeler. He was even before he was drafted by him.
Tony Brackens was a country guy, and I got Tony's number here, man. We need to get him on. We've had him on before. Great guy, right? But he was a guy who would like wrestle steer and stuff like that. Like he's got that country type stuff going on.
Country strong. Mm-hmm.
Country strong, but also country fun, where it's like, you did what?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we wrestled gators. Why? For S&Gs.
Yeah.
Because we were bored.
Wasn't McMichael a big rattlesnake guy? Like, didn't he used to have Snakes.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to ask Casey, because Casey's dad or uncle, I believe, right? And Casey's people was here, and he tells stories about the rattlesnake pranks they would play on people,
right,
where they would literally leave rattlesnakes.
I'd say Dave stuttered.
Yeah, but they were like, you tell me they would leave rattlesnakes in people's like rooms.
I would have transferred.
It was like, that was not funny.
That's not funny.
I'll
say this. So when I was there, a lot of the athletes at Jester had snakes. What was up with that?
I remember a couple of guys.
Which it seemed like a lot
pythons,
to me.
Like,
yeah.
Little
the hell
pythons.
You doing?
I have no idea.
What about a baseball thought, KD? Craig Way mentioned Dustin Majewski.
Okay. Kieschnick.
I'd prefer Majewski.
Majewski.
That's how it's spelled.
Right.
And, you know,
I could see Dustin. Kieschnick would be right up there. I tell you what, if you've never seen him in person, a little different size at Texas, but Roger Clemens is one big MF-er.
Yeah.
I mean, he's all of 6'4", and just ask Mike Piazza. Not a lot of people want a piece of Roger.
No, especially back then.
No.
When he had stuff flowing through his system.
How dare you?
Allegedly.
Come on.
Sorry, you know what he did?
He misremembered everything that happened, okay?
It happens.
Guy on this team, I wouldn't mess with Ivan Melendez.
No, I wouldn't either. El Paso guy, too. I'm not messing with anyone from El Paso.
What do you mean by that?
I'm not messing anybody from
that. They might have connections. They might have some connections.
And the guys that I knew in college from El Paso,
somebody
who you didn't want to mess with.
They just, nothing was off limits for them.
Right.
They wouldn't fight fair.
Somebody sent me this story from Dallas Morning News about Leonard Davis from Calvin Watkins. Said Leonard Davis said when he arrived at his 5-acre home in Chandler, Arizona, he noticed a horse stuck in the mud across the street. The horse was waist deep in a sinkhole. David said, I had to do something. So he pulled the horse, who was waist deep in mud, out of the mud.
He's the only guy
that's
that can
how
do
powerful
that.
Just by himself?
Was. Yeah.
Wow.
Davis drove his John Deere tractor across the street, went over there. He put some straps on it to try to help, but then he pulled it out with himself, and then he used some of his tractor to help pull the thing out of the mud, too.
That's incredible.
He's a grown man.
Quick check of the specs. Text line 337-3776. A few votes for Gabe Maneki.
Yeah, Gabe would be up there.
You got to vote for Brandon Mouton.
Gabe was punching guys during games. Little sucker punches in the stomach as they were running up the court.
We've got the Hagers finding their way on this list
I'll
as
take,
well.
Papa Hager.
I'll take Britt.
Papa Hager was
played with a pinched nerve against A&M and had 17 or 18 tackles.
That's true. He's a monster.
Does Mark Henry count?
No, you got to play here.
Yeah.
I heard Brecken on the B&E. He's acting now?
Yeah.
He's in the 12 Mighty Orphans, a movie coming out.
He was with the Rams, right, for a little while?
I believe so, but I think now he said he's acting. 12 Mighty Orphans is the movie. You can go look it up. I think it comes out this weekend. So shout out to the Hager family trying to get into the Hollywood world.
Oh, you fans would say Brecken Hager was acting as a football player.
Okay. Right. He definitely had the look when he was here, though.
Yeah.
He looked Hollywood enough, so good luck to him.
Now, has he cut his hair yet?
Well, I think he did.
Well, we haven't won a Big 12 championship.
Okay.
Yes, he did.
He cut his hair.
He did.
He looks very handsome, too. Come on. It's uncalled for a joke about Brecken Hager.
Not at all. Pretty called for.
337-3776 if you want to keep the text coming. A little skirmish last night between a couple of Lifetime Longhorns, Kevin Durant and PJ Tucker. So we're asking the question, which Lifetime Longhorn or current Longhorn would you least want to fight? We'll take your thoughts. When we come back, we'll read some of your text. We'll also get back into college football playoff expansion. We've been talking about 8 teams for a while, but apparently we're going beyond 8. We'll give you some of the details next.